Welcome to the Spiritual Shit Podcast with your host, Alia Lovely. This is a place where we discuss the spiritual, the mystical, and the magical of the human experience. I will give you personal insights on this podcast and interviews and card readings to help you think about the critical questions we are facing in these complicated times and to shed light on the concerns of the collective. Here, I will take what was woo-woo to the mainstream, so no topic is ever off limits, to have authentic and thought-provoking conversations to help you think about spirituality and how it affects our humanity in a variety of ways. We will laugh, we will cry, and most importantly, we will think about our inherent resilience, transformation, perseverance, and highlight the limitless possibilities that exist within each of us. I want to inspire you to push beyond your own limits of comfort and strive for an open mind, no matter the odds. I hope to encourage you to embrace your potential and pursue your dreams with an element of fun, spirituality, and humanity. Remember to like and subscribe to never miss an episode and review and share so others can be inspired as well. To connect with me personally, go to thelovelyalia.com or join my Patreon at patreon.com/thelovelyalia for behind the scenes extra content for the show and our monthly forum to find like-minded souls to discuss your own spiritual journey. Follow me at Instagram at thelovelyalia as well as YouTube for video podcasts. And thank you so much for joining me on this journey. So let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Spiritual Shit. I'm your host, Alia Lovely. And today, this episode is going to be just with me. And I'm surprised I'm doing this because I have been very, very sick this week and coughing my lungs out, feeling like absolute shit, literally. And I didn't know if I'd be able to get through an entire episode without coughing my brain out. But this felt really important. And in the middle of this week, going through so many changes with my body and how I'm feeling, whatever, I almost felt like I had a spiritual awakening through this process of being sick. And that is, to me, such a weird revelation or weird idea even to think that somehow going through this process would then awaken me to new ideas. However, it has. And in the last few weeks, I have really distanced myself from social media. And again, not to demonize social media, I just needed some time to regain my mental capacity, regain the influence under my own thoughts and channels, and not be so deeply influenced by what I'm seeing go on around me, not just in the news, etc., but like other channelers or other spiritual people. I wanted to see what was coming through for just me. So the other day, I decided that I wanted to watch 3 movies in the same weekend. I wanted to watch Interstellar, I wanted to watch Arrival, and I wanted to watch Everything All at Once, All at the Same Time, or however that title of the movie goes. And the reason I wanted to do that, I wasn't sure, but I know that all of these movies deal in time discrepancy and moving into other dimensions and tesseracts and space and aliens and connection to the soul. And it was just on me. Like, I haven't sat down and watched a full movie in a really long time. So anyway, I am about to detail out to you the revelation I feel I have had in this process of trying to figure out the answer to my own question, the answer I've been searching for years, about why are we here? Why are we on Earth? What is the point? And because I've had several really impactful interviews over the last couple months as I was doing the recording for this season, I have started to turn a corner and feeling that I now know why I'm here. I now know why we are here. And again, just as a preface, this is my own interpretation based on my own experience, my own channeling and connection to my own guides. And so if this doesn't resonate with you, by all means, throw it out. But I have a feeling a lot of you are going to go, oh wow, I get that. And it seems almost too simple. So I'm going to discuss the ways that I'm kind of like turning over in my brain, and maybe that will help you, because my largest question has always been, why are we here? What are we doing here? What's our purpose here? What are we supposed to be learning here? Why is it so deeply devastating to be here and to watch all of the injustices and pain and suffering happening on this planet. And I have often said out loud on this show, like, this is the last time I'm coming to Earth. I'm not coming to Earth again. I don't want to do that again. That this planet is ghetto, or, you know, the like feelings of descent towards this space that is my home, that is your home. And it is supposed to be also giving us something, but we're supposed to be here giving it something and not really understanding what the exchange is about. And so having extreme dissent for that. So I just watched Interstellar, and I think I've only seen Interstellar once that I can remember, because there's so much of the movie I didn't remember. And it was something so interesting that, first of all, I bawled my eyes out the entire movie. It's like the dad-daughter thing and like leaving your kids and stuff like that. That just, I can't handle it. Now being a mom, I guess it's made me really sensitive to that type of stuff. But what I found to be really interesting is the scene where Anne Hathaway and Matthew McConaughey are going back and forth about what planet they want to go to. And Matthew calling her out, saying basically, you want to go here because you want to see this person. This is not necessarily the best course of action for us to do. And Anne Hathaway's character, Dr. Brand, kind of comes out and says, like, love is the only thing that can transcend time, dimension, and gravity. And she goes into this kind of like back and forth about how no matter where we are, we're 1,000 billion miles away, we're galaxies away, and I still think about people on the other side of the universe because I love them. And that is what connects us all. And they were talking about the theory of relativity, which I find super interesting anyway, how, and if you haven't watched the movie, definitely go watch the movie before you listen to the rest of this podcast, I think, because the idea of relativity is so dense, like it's so impactful when you think about being further out in a space that has less gravity, it has less time, or at least the time moves slower there. So they would go to a planet that was further out that had less gravity, meaning that Earth would have 7 years in the time that they would be gone 1 hour on that particular planet. And so there being this very interesting dichotomy in which Matthew McConaughey is trying really hard not to miss his entire children's lives when he thought he'd only be gone for 2 years, and then having to fight with these decisions about what's going to be best in order for him to be with his children. And ultimately, the goal is to save the planet because it's not inhabitable anymore. So that was like the background. So something that she said, the phrasing that she used, is very similar to the last few people that I've interviewed on our podcast, Matt Kahn, Pamela Erland. And I had a reading with a guy named Todd Bryson. And I highly recommend him. If you want a reading by him, you can go to toddbrysonlive.com. This is not an ad. It's just the most dramatic reading I've ever had that kind of knocked my socks off. He reads Akashic Records. We can talk about that later. But they're all coming back to this love thing and coming back to channels that I have written over the last year. And you guys always know that my question is like, what's the point of this? Like, what's the point? What are we supposed to be learning? What are we supposed to be doing? Why is Earth important? Why going through this process is important? Why do we have spirit guides and shit? Like, what's the point of war? Like, you know where I go with those questions. And in the interview that I had with Pamela in her channeling, which was very good, she said, you're not asking what's the point of this experience, but what's the point of suffering? And that started to unlock something for me, that this is my question. And I never understood that this was my question. It was very insightful when she said that, because it's like, why do we come here and experience this density, this polarity, whatever? Like, when, why is there all this suffering? And if we had not had all this suffering, I would not be asking the question, why are we here? Like, if Earth had been a place that seemed just and fair, I wouldn't be asking why, because this experience seems so extraordinarily painful. And when she put it into that phrasing, basically everybody keeps talking about it's love, that it's not even, it's learning, that's not even, it's that, that it's not even that, that it's about love. And often when I've gotten that response, it's felt too general for me to ground it. I've still felt like I don't have the full understanding of like what you mean by that. And that there's a component or capacity in which we, I guess, came here to experience it more fully than we can even understand out there. And she said that. She said that you come in this density in order to be able to experience it more fully. And in my current understanding, that didn't make as much sense to me because isn't when we leave this place the fullest we can ever experience love? And I thought from the source's perspective, maybe yes, that we experience love in such a full way when we exit this experience. At least I've heard from NDEs through my mediumship, all of that, right? That when we get out of here, we experience like the tip top, like more real than we could ever imagine type of love than that we've ever had. However, I wonder if even though we feel that from source, we don't actually know how to do that or give that to other people as souls, if that's something that we're actually here to learn, how to love other people, how to love outside of ourselves, how our empathy expands the capacity of us and those that we say we love. And I sat with that for a little bit because say we're fifth dimensional versions of ourselves, our future selves that decide to come into this 3D experience, then we would have been creating an existence where we could experience love more fully, more ardently. And it behooves us in that sense to find that in the midst of suffering, that love shows up nonetheless, that love is still the thing that we think about the most. And I think within our matrix, we feel it at a depth that we might not be able to feel it outside of here because we know we're never ending. We know nothing is finite. We know that there is no actual suffering, that there's no risk. And within this duality and polarity, there's so much risk. There's so much effort. There's so much sacrifice. And it made me really emotional seeing that movie through that lens because I think the last time I saw it was in 2013 when it came out. And I wasn't thinking about any of this stuff. But now even being a mom, it's watching it was so different in the context that like the amount of love that I feel for the people in my life and what I feel for them, especially those in my family, the way that we connect with each other, the fear of losing them and just the love that I have for my daughter, like I still feel the need to make her pain go away, to make her sadness go away, to do whatever I can do in my power to make sure that she has a good life. There is something that comes over me that puts myself in the background and her in the forefront to protect her, to care for her. And that is the way that a lot of us show our love. And there's something in that. There's something in that because it's starting to really kind of boil for me. The interviews that I've done and the things that I'm looking into lately have started to erode my frustration with the experience on Earth, if that makes sense. It's starting to open up a gate for me to see, maybe in its true reasons, I'm not sure though, but when I had my reading with Todd, he told me that I didn't volunteer to come here, but that I was recruited. And even though he didn't expand too much on that, like it resonated with me really deeply because he said that I have a special set of skills. I sound like Liam Neeson, that would be optimal for this particular type of mission that we're in because we're trying to awaken those in this experiment of duality by creating a love that's deeper, that ripples into our fifth dimension. And this is interesting to me because perhaps the love that we experience outside of here, we created the Earth experience to create a deeper, more ardent version of love that can then be expressed in the fifth dimension. Now, I've spoken to fifth dimensional beings. They come across not super emotional. And when we talk about aliens and we talk about empathy, you know, a lot of times they come forward extraordinarily straightforward. And even a thought I had was, we're talking about indigo children and how loads of the children into this world are coming in with a lot of neurodivergence. And intuitively, channel-wise or whatever, you can resonate with this or not, but there was a channel that came to me that said the Indigo children are coming from the fifth dimension. And so because they were not human before and they volunteered to come here in order to learn, not to learn as much about themselves, yes, that's part of it, but to learn how to love more deeply. And they do that within this experience. So when we have children coming in that don't have apparent neurotypical social skills, it's not because there's something wrong with them. It's that they may have come from and I don't even want to say higher living space per se, but they came from a vibrationally different space, and they're learning how to anchor their high vibration into this density to help this density raise its dimension in a way. It's like an assistance. Will you help me? I help you. It's like an exchange, a trade. And so those who are coming in are needing to learn how to love more fully. And I don't think it's like you need to learn this as a soul to progress. I don't think it's like that. I think it's more so like, wow, we notice that humans have a capacity for love that we did not expect, or we didn't understand at some point, and we can help utilize this very special superpower they have in such a way that helps elevate their consciousness. And in this way, we become more like each other. It's almost like a unification process. Now this, you know what, you can throw this all the way away. I'm just telling you how it came to me in a channel. And that for some reason makes a lot of sense to me. It sounds so out there, but not any more out there than anything y'all have heard here before. But I feel this as a truth to me somehow. And so it seems like it's like a goal of this experiment. Can we transcend the inner duality and of suffering to come to a place where we can love even more fully? It's as if in the fifth dimension or in the future, we went back into a simulation, because I don't want to say it wasn't enough, but it wasn't. And I don't know if that resonates with me. It's just what's coming out, that we had everything we wanted, that we had everything that we could think of. We could build anything that we wanted. We could think any way that we wanted. We can experience anything that we wanted at the moment of consciousness that comes across our mind. And it doesn't allow us to practice sacrifice or patience or love within endurance. It doesn't ask us to choose anything, because we don't have to, you know? So in this duality, we may have constructed it so we would have, I guess, the eyes to see if we would choose love. Would we choose it? How would we choose? Who would we choose? And, you know, what would that look like? Maybe even in the life review, maybe it's less about what you learned as a soul, like who you are in the process, and more about how you loved. And that, oof, gives me chills just when I say it. Like, yes, we can learn as a soul and we can look at the ways, but anytime I've done my mediumship and I've heard about life review, we've gone into the aspect of empathy always. Like when we've harmed someone, how did that make the other person feel? To bring us into a greater awareness of how our actions affect others, and how when we're unloving, what that does to our community, our children, our parents, the people that we're around, like that it all comes down to love. And it makes so much sense to me. I had some channels. I haven't even shared it with you guys. I am in the middle of very slowly writing another book about the channels that have been coming through me. And I had titled it, The Point of It is Love. And that is the title that they wanted me to choose. And, you know, I was like, I'm here just to channel like what comes out. And a lot of the channels have been around love and how, and its purpose of love, but I didn't find any other synchronicities to kind of back that up. So I've been writing it quietly, silently, basically, until I found some confidence in what I felt like I was finding out. So anyway, like in our fifth dimension or wherever we're coming from, it doesn't allow us to practice the sacrifice, the patience, the linear timelines. And so did you love the earth? Did you love your friends? Did you love that stranger on the street? Did you increase your capacity for love? Because I think vibrationally, it's extraordinary. I find this ideal extraordinary, because if that's why we came here, then it wasn't just to learn. Because I was like, to learn what? That was always my question. To learn what? Like, what are we here to assist with? And we're assisting for what? Like, nobody answers that question. And it's almost as if we came here to do this experiment, to learn how to love. And what's interesting to me, especially those of us, if we're not from Earth as humans, that we've heard that humans have this very special ability to connect emotionally in ways that other star beings don't, like I said earlier. And so what if those of us who volunteered didn't come here purely as a volunteer, like we're superheroes, but we came here because we knew it would give us an opportunity to feel a love that we've never felt before? And what if we didn't have the same capacity that humans have to love? And in this way, it would show us something we're missing that we can incorporate into our other existences and other realities. And it creates a ripple into the rest of the universe. Maybe that's why all the eyes are on Earth, because there's something special we're mining here. And I don't want to say it like that because that sounds bad, but we've come in to learn from this space and also bring our awareness in our, I say our awareness like I'm an alien, but we bring our awareness in that we balance each other and we make the universe a better place through this exchange, through this experiment. Now, I've heard many channelers call this an experiment, that Earth is the hardest tier, lowest tier, you know, whatever. Who knows? I don't actually know that. But to me, it's just mind-blowing to think about. Maybe there were so many volunteers because we'll have this opportunity to feel something we've never felt before. And in my reading, Todd was saying that I wasn't a volunteer, but that I was recruited. And in my own personal interpretation of that is that I must have either been here before and done this lots of times, which I think I have, because, you know, I remember some of my past lives, but maybe I also came here to teach people how to do that. And as I'm living here, like how to love. And when I think about this movie, I think about the people in my life, you know, and the challenges that we face together, the inconveniences, the arguments, the, you know, some I'm not speaking to you, or, you know, like whatever's happened within families and stuff, like whatever you can think of for your own, the falling out with friendships that we've had, or the bosses that we hate, or, you know, whatever. All of these are relational aspects to our experience here on Earth. And just the thought of how when these people come into our life and the challenges that they present to us, how it's teaching us something about ourselves. It's teaching us how little patience we have, or how little compassion, or how selfish we can be sometimes. Like it through our challenge teaches us what we feel like we're missing in one way or another. And, you know, this is a long way to say it, but I think I've finally answered my own question of why we're here, or we at least why I'm here. Because we don't learn the depth and breadth of capacity to love without sacrifice. And so I think we can learn it without suffering. I think that does exist, but the suffering adds another layer of the way that we are able to learn how to love. And sometimes the suffering, I think, on Earth can be too great, and it doesn't turn into a deeper capacity for love. Instead, it turns into a numbness and tragedy and trauma, and it cuts us off from other people. I think that's where the experiment has gone off the rails. That suffering has caused us to amputate our capacity for love. And I get chills when I say that, because when we think about our world and what's going on, when it emotionally becomes too great, we tend to look away. We don't tend to lean in. We don't tend to do extraordinary means in order to help or provide compassion and understanding for people outside of our own experience. We've become very insular, because at the rate of which we experience other people suffering, just through our phone even, causes us so much internal unrest that it prevents us from being able to really look at someone's pain. And then we tend to avoid it. In that way, we can be loving to ourselves to preserve our own capacity for love, and that it can be necessary. But I think that when we get out of this experience and we review, what did you learn? I learned to look at the fire and run towards it to help any of those in need. That my love for the human race is so great that I ran toward the fire. I volunteered to come here to offer my love. And if we are not awake, which I hate that phrasing in the first place, but if we're in a place where we are unaware that that's what we came to do, then we don't understand our mission and our purpose. And if we don't understand our mission and our purpose, it doesn't give us the opportunity to come here and feel love to the fullest that we can feel it. Instead, we look around and we fear people around us. We look around and we say, everyone is a threat to me and my safety. And we think of our safety above everything. And it's not to say that you shouldn't think of your safety. I'm not saying that at all. But it just, if we are not aware that the point of this is love, then we undermine our very superpower that we came in here to learn. I think that there are many beings from many different places in the galaxies that understand the gravity that love holds in not just our world, but that ripples throughout our universe and other universes. And I know as a human, I've been a human for almost 40 years. And I know that love is such a pinnacle part of our existence. We want to find love. We want to be in love. We want to have families to share that love with. We want to have friends to share that love with. And maybe somewhere along the way, we lost that as our purpose. We lost that as our superpower. And a lot of us had to come back in to remind us, like remind myself, you know, that this is the point. And I get the chills when I say that, not the even fever chills, because I've had those all week, but I believe in this very extraordinary cold that I've had. You know, I had this notion of wanting to sit down and watch some movies, but I gained some sense of clarity. I've gained an immense sense of clarity of why I think I'm here. And with that goal in mind, it almost makes it glaringly apparent how I need to be living my life. And that changes a lot for me, I think. It changes how I deal with my children. It changes how I deal with our neighbors. It changes how I deal with people. It's not that I wasn't a loving person before. I think I can be quite lovely if we're on brand here. I'm joking, but there being some sense of, okay, like how big is my heart? How much more can I expand the love that I have? And what does that look like? What does it mean? You know, why have I even named myself Lovely? Like, yes, it is my legal name. Those of you have asked, but it is a name that I changed. So it wasn't originally my name. And that's so bizarre and random that I would have done that a very early part of my career. Like a long time ago, even my email address, my first email address, by the way, was when I was 16, because that was when I was able to use the internet. Those of you who are too young, this ages me. And I named it StarChild182002@yahoo.com. And why would I name myself Star Child? Like, what was that about? I was very Christian at the time. I had no connection to, you know, like any interest in aliens or star peeing or whatever. Like, that was just something that came to me that I liked, and I had no knowing or resonance of where it came from. And it's almost like these signals of knowing that are trying to inform yourself of who you are and what you're here to do, without you even recognizing it, if you don't have the awareness when it happens. So it's so bizarre and random that I would have done that. It's such an early part of my career or childhood even, that there are these signals of knowing. And I bring that up because watching Interstellar, it kind of prompted some of those childhood knowings, like, yeah, I had a ghost, I've had this, I've had that. Like, she refers back to her ghost and having this knowing that, you know, it was a person, there was someone there. And in fact, was her dad giving her those signals all along. Like, I've had those experiences where people didn't believe me, to be connected to aspects of myself when I was younger that I pulled through meaning from beyond here without even knowing that it was something I would resonate with later in the same way. Just the way that the character in the movie had all this resonance and knowing that something was happening, but she wasn't able to do anything with that information until much later. And how I've been operating and working in my dream spaces and astral spaces and channeling. And, you know, some of these are non-dimensional, or tri-dimensional, or 10th dimensional, whatever, it doesn't matter. Exploring these spaces in our astral body or in our minds that are bringing this information here. We are a bridge. And what's crazy to me is I've seen that in this movie. I've been talking about the bridge. I've been thinking about the bridge. I've been channeling about the bridge, about bringing information into Earth. And I've done a few channels where I've talked to y'all about like doing what you love and what that means, like being able to explore your passions, because it brings more love into the world. And that helps fulfill part of our purpose. But I wondered, why did I get such an impetus to watch this movie right now? Like some future version of me was like, hey, this will make it click. This will make you understand. It wouldn't have clicked 2 weeks ago. It wouldn't have clicked a few months ago, but it clicks today. That's something, and there's something very special about that. So then I decide that I'm going to watch Arrival, which is this really beautiful movie about other beings who land here and how humans immediately are on defense and the army is acting like assholes immediately. Like, what does this thing want and how do we protect ourselves and defend ourselves and et cetera, when they're trying to give us a gift, basically. And the gift is that when you learn their language, your brain processes time the way that they see time, which is not linear. And so you're able to see the future and utilize the future in order to impact your present. And that changes then your future, or it keeps it the same, whatever. So you can watch the movie. But there being something very intense about that as well, because the aspect of time and how we feel about time, what's linear, what's not, and our experience here being linear and finite, but having an understanding about what it's like in other dimensions when that's not the case, when we can kind of see it all at the same time, it all happening at the same time, and that we can utilize it in different aspects and versions of ourselves when we arrive with that awareness. I haven't watched everything all at once, all at the same time again yet, but when I watched it the first time, having a very similar interpretation of time, that we can travel between different versions of ourselves in order to access the knowledge that would help us make this experience better. I imagine that that's a part of the soul's learning as well. But what was really interesting is while I've been sick, I was in a meditation. I was having a really, really bad migraine. I've been getting really bad ones over the last 4 days. And I was having this migraine and I was like, you know what? Let me access my Akashic Record Keeper, who I had Todd Bryson actually verify, which is crazy. Let me tell you all the story real quick. In my reading, so first of all, I had a meditation that a being came to me, and I don't know if I should say the name out loud or not. I don't know if it's helpful to have everybody have access to my own Akashic Record Keeper, so I'm going to keep his name private, but I had a name come to me, and when this name came to me, this entity told me to write down their name, that it would be important later. And so I wrote down the name, and I had just maybe like what felt like two or three letters off, where I was like, I got the first part of the name, the second part of the name is still unsure. And I kept trying to look it up, couldn't find the actual meaning of the name that would give me answers or whatever. So I let it go, right? I kept it in a place where I knew I would remember it, would come back to me. I told one of a few of my spiritual woo-woo friends and said, hey, this happened, like, you know, I'm waiting for something to kind of show me where this is at, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I have this reading with Todd Bryson where the first thing he says out of his mouth is this name. He says, this person came to me. As soon as I opened up the Akashic Records, this name came and he told me to, like, you know, look at him, something like that. And it like blew my socks off because yes, I've seen other mediums and stuff where they have talked about grandparents and whatnot, but never, never, never an entity that has not existed here and got the name right. Like, I almost fell out of my chair. So just to give you an idea of like where we were at here. So I was feeling super sick and I called on the name of my Akashic Record Keeper. And I said, hey, I would really love for you to open up the records and show me a version of myself that knows medicine, that knows herbs, that knows how to make myself feel better. Maybe I do Reiki, maybe I do healing, maybe it's an herb that I take, but like, show me her, please. Take me to her, you know? And so I felt like I was walking through this library and I was in this place that looked like it was made of glass, that, if you've ever seen, you know, a bunch of, microscope, what are those called? The glasses that you put the bacteria on or whatever to look underneath the microscope, they're all sitting in a row. It kind of looked like that, but they were life size. And so I stood in front of it and I would walk into one and then the version of me would change. And I kept walking until I changed into a resonant version of myself that had the access to the information that would help me feel better. And so in this woman comes to me and she looks beautiful. She has these insanely beautiful green eyes with a heterochromia in them. And she comes to me and she says, you need rose hips, thyme, garlic, and wormwood, is what she said. And I then transformed back into myself and I sat up and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I got like very specific instructions. So I went downstairs. My husband is an herbologist, so he had most of all of the herbs there, and the only one he didn't have was rose hips. It was passion flower instead. So use that, put it together. First of all, the nastiest thing I've ever tasted, ever. However, after I took that dose, I felt mounds better yesterday than I have felt all week. I actually turned a corner. Like, I started to get all this crap out of my throat, started to feel better. I felt good enough this morning that I'm able to deliver this podcast. I haven't coughed once. That's not true. I coughed once, but I haven't gone into a coughing fit. So that's a good sign. So anyway, like being able to go into that space and transform in there. And then my guide told me that you don't need to astral travel anymore to gain this information. You can go there by your intention. You are becoming conscious and aware of these future and past versions of yourselves that you can go and influence yourself from those other versions of yourselves, parallel versions of yourselves even, to make this life better, to access more of this information, this collective consciousness, if you will. And in that movie, that's what she was doing. She was utilizing other versions of herself to help her present status. And I feel like that's something I'm learning we can do. The only reason I wanted to hop on here today and give you this very potent lesson I'm learning in real time is maybe it will be of value to you. Maybe in some way or another, you will have access to things that you didn't have access to before because the presentation of this idea just helped unlock something for you, like the way me watching a movie did, that the inspiration of something I'm absorbing through content creation helped me understand myself and my purpose deeper. And maybe that's all we need. Maybe it's just the little nudge. Maybe we don't need to meditate for 20 hours on end by ourselves in a silo or go to some really expensive retreat. Maybe we can just be quiet with ourselves and, you know, watch a movie. I don't know, you know, maybe that will give us the access, the for the longing of the information that we're searching for. And I know a lot of you who listen to the show are going through awakenings and you're going through the space of like, okay, I'm not just this meat suit walking around. We are actually this highly intelligent biological computer machine that is feeling feelings that are so beyond maybe what other versions of ourselves have known. Maybe the capacity to learn how to love is greater because the suffering is higher. Maybe it's no accident that we're in all of this suffering because it is a testament to how much compassion we will show others and how much empathy we'll show others. Maybe this particular time is so important because it is a test to see if we have the superpower of love within us, or if we will be selfish and only think of ourselves. Maybe the raising of the vibration on this planet doesn't come through the quotation love and light, but actually through the process and the action of real love, real practiced love. I was talking with my stepson yesterday and I was asking him, What does it mean to feel loved for him? And he's like, I don't know, you know, and I'm, you know, he's eight and I'm just curious, like from a child's perspective, you know, what does it mean to you to feel loved? And he's like, well, you know, people want to be my friend or be nice to me or, you know, buy me stuff or make sure that I eat and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, so acts of service to you is what makes you feel loved. And I thought about that for a while because how else does a child understand what love is in their capacity at their age? My daughter, who is 2.5, before she turned 2, would not say, I love you back. She'd say night, night, bye, bye, whatever. And we'd say, love you. And she wouldn't say it back. And she would have this look on her face almost like, I know what you're trying to do. And I don't want to say it. And I thought, why would she feel like, I mean, she's at that point, I thought, you know, parroting what we're saying, but she knew what I love you meant. You could see it in her face. And it's okay if those of you who are listening are like, okay, sure. But I could see it on her face. She looked, give us this look that felt very adult and look at us like, I know what you're saying, but I'm not ready to say it back. I don't know if I love you yet. And it used to hurt my feelings because I was like, why won't she say I love you? She'll say everything else, but she won't say I love you. But there being this sense of consciousness of her knowing the gravity of what that meant. The first time she said it, I was walking out of her room. I'd given her hugs and, you know, whatever. And I was like, good night, I love you. And she was like, love you. And my heart just burst into a million pieces. It was like, oh my gosh. And then the second time where she put her hand on my face and she put her forehead to my forehead and said, love you. And unprompted, like, oh, like it gave me this sense of she knows what this means now. And it was, I don't know, for me, it crushed me in the best way. So beautiful to experience that moment. But thinking from a toddler's perspective, how do they understand what love means to them? It means I show up with her apple juice when she asks for it. It means that, you know, the hugs that she feels that emotion conveyed, you know, whatever, like whatever her interpretation of that is. But then I started thinking for myself, for others, like, how do we interpret when people love us? What does that mean? It means I'm here for you. I empathize with you. I feel compassionate to your cause. I feel sympathetic to your pain. I am a listening ear. I am a hug when you need it. I am there to offer my time and my attention, you know, like at what capacity, an endless capacity for the people that we love. And, you know, this is not to say to be a doormat or anything like that. Like, we're not talking about that. Like, that we are increasing our capacity for love in extraordinary ways. And, you know, you don't have to be a parent to do that. It's just that in my own very experience, it's like, wow, like I have went from learning how to love others on a completely different scale to then becoming a parent of not one, but three children at the same time. And then having to learn how to love each of them under their different circumstances, under their different personalities, learning to love different partners, learning to love different parents, learning to love different siblings, like that our capacity is constantly being stretched to learn how to love. And in some ways, like, and I'm going to keep saying this, I guess, because this is what I'm ruminating over. But if, you know, you imagine that you come from another star system and you come to an earth that feels very unfamiliar to you, that, you know, you're not considered neurotypical because you're not from here, maybe, you know, that the way that you communicate is different. The way that you expect others to communicate and exchange is different. The way that you feel love is different. And in a way, you came here with your very high vibration, but needing to squeeze yourself into a lower density vessel in order to feel love more fully. And maybe that's why we came here, that this volunteering is not just like, I'm here to assist the earth in raising its vibration because I'm a superhero and I'm an alien that has advanced consciousness that can do XYZ. No, that's the ego wanting to take credit. I think maybe that there's a mutual exchange happening, that we were thirsty to come here. We volunteered because we wanted to come here, because there is something so gratifying and lovely about the depth of love we can feel here that we can't feel anywhere else in the universe. And when we couple that with the depth of empathy and compassion that a fifth dimensional or higher can bring to a space, we can transform each other in a symbiotic relationship that benefits the entire universe. And in that view, that completely changes the way that I think I want to live my life. And, you know, I almost didn't get on here this morning to do this podcast because I've been sick all week. I didn't want to have to do Instagram graphics and, you know, like do all the work and research and whatever. Like, I've already recorded all my episodes. I didn't need to do a solo one, but out of the love that is bursting in my heart, I felt this is my act of love. I sacrificed my time and my comfort. You know, I could have slept in. I had a really bad migraine this morning. Not that I'm doing y'all a favor. This is for me too. Like, this is me fleshing this idea out is giving me access to something I've been looking for a really long time. And it gives me peace and knowing of like, okay, now we're cooking with oil here. Now we're in a place where it makes more sense. I am motivated by reason. And some of you are not, and that's okay. But for me, I need to know why I'm doing something. Why am I here? Like, I have motivations for why I do this podcast. One of them is to do my spiritual work, my mission, what I felt like I came here to do. But that has significantly changed in a beautiful, upgraded kind of way, because I do this now for love, love of humanity, love of each other, love of the capacity that we're trying to grow in order to make not just our earth a better place, but the universe as well. It is to see the expansiveness of source in ways that I couldn't even have imagined. I didn't understand it before, and I feel like I understand it now. It's not even that I understand it. It's like I remember it. It's like something clicks, and I remember why I'm here. I remember what I'm here to feel, what I'm here to do, and I'm hoping that on some level that whoever hears the resonance of my voice, even though I'm hoarse and I'm sick, that it comes through in a way that it unlocks a remembrance in you, that all of this is kind of working together in some way or another. And I would be remiss to not hop on here and offer this when I feel like this is my purpose. So if you're searching for your purpose, chew on that. Chew on that as a purpose. Chew on the aspect of expanding our ability to love in whatever capacity we can see fit as a way to map or guide you into what you're to do next and what in your life has meaning. Why does it have meaning? Because at the source, at the end of all this, this is about, the point is love. We are expressing, we found gold in earth, and we want to explore that and expand that through the rest of the universe. The earth has offered us something so beautiful that we are able to feel so ardently, so deeply, a feeling that we can't feel maybe anywhere else. So giving you that to chew on this week. And I would love, 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 love to hear your feedback on what you thought about this episode. Not because I need an ego boost, but because I want to know, am I alone here and feeling this way? Is there any remembrance or resonance that comes up for you that says, oh my God, this was it? You know, because I also believe that we operate in parallel and universal dimensions and whatnot. And maybe this is my purpose, may not be your purpose. And you might live in a parallel universe where your purpose is something completely different. But I'm just curious. I'd love to hear from you in the, the section of what did you think about this episode? Or you can feel free to repost this episode, share it on Instagram, and tell me what you thought. Like, I'm just super curious to see if anybody else feels this way. So thank you so much for listening and sharing the space with me. I genuinely want to say that I love you and I appreciate you for listening, but for if you're doing any work in this world to expand not just consciousness, but the consciousness of love, then I see you. And I just want to give you a spiritual high five. So much love to you all. If you love this episode, please share it with someone you love, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to connect with me more, head over to patreon.com/thelovelyalia so we can discuss your views about spirituality in our monthly meetings. If this episode spoke to you, please share it and make sure you tag me. And always, if you're looking for some spiritual guidance, you can always find me at thelovelyalia.com for spiritual advising. Thanks again for listening. I hope you have a beautiful week, and we'll see you next week.